Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We've got a hell of a show for you. A couple weeks ago, I had this gentleman's opponent, Chris Harris, on. You know, Chris Harris is down there from JMTK down there in Kansas. He's a tremendous warrior. On this show tonight, and you know what, Chance, I wanted to ask you this before we went live, brother, because I didn't want to butcher your last name. I'm just going to go ahead and bring you on to the show. We got Chris Harris' opponent, Chance, but I'm not going to try to even say your last
Rain
name
County.
Because I don't want to butcher. Ren County.
No,
there we go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, it happens. It's happened to me ever since I was a little kid. It's not a big deal. It's Ren Counter is how you pronounce it, just for the record.
No. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for joining the show. You know, it's an honor to have you on. You know, I did a little bit of research on some different aspects because my show touches not just on the fight world, but on you as a person away from social media, a side of you, per se, that people don't get to see. You know, one thing that I was pleased to see is, you know, I'm actually American Indian. So
yes, it
was awesome to look into your pictures and see that you're also of Native descent, and You actually celebrate that part of your life quite well. What does it mean to you to come from that side of a warrior aspect in your background?
You know, that's when I was younger, when I first started my MMA career, I was really, you know, pushing for that aspect. I didn't grasp the concept because I was just doing this, you know, like, hey, fighting, this sounds fun. I was a young college guy, like, hey, let's see where this goes. We'll try this out. And then I started reaching out and, you know, gathering other people's opinions and aspect, and they started bringing it to my light. You know, there's not many Native Americans that do what I do or even can do what I do. So it's a pretty humbling experience to sit here and have Native kids look up to me, not just my tribe as the Osages, because I'm Osage and Cheyenne River Sioux and Liberal Sioux, not just those three tribes. I'm trying to grasp the whole realm of the Native American, you know, culture. And like you said, I've been culturally involved as Osage in the southern tribes all my life. I've been dancing since I was 10 years old. Grew up in a peyote church, you know, and then we have summer dances. Every summer we have it's not a powwow, we call it an Enlanshka, and it's a ceremonial dance that we participate every summer. My mom's had me in it since I was young. Growing up, my nephew does it, my sister, all my cousins, all my family dances. So it's a pretty neat experience. And the whole fighting thing, I never, you know, incorporated to. I tried to push for it, and it really opened up my eyes to, you know, show those Native kids that, you know, I did grow up on a small reservation. I did come from a very unwealthy family. My mom worked three jobs just to make sure we had food on the table. You know, and I grew up in a small reservation, and I can look back now and say, hey, you know, I did have a hard life. I did have some tough growing up, but now I look back and it's overwhelming, the aspect or the fact that people look up to me, not so much look up to me, but, you know, they appreciate what I do, what I'm doing for our Native people, that, you know, I was the first Osage ever in Bellator. So it's, you know, I'm making history, and it's not, as of right now, overwhelming, but I'm sure once I retire and everything down the road, I can really sit back and look at it and be like, you know, damn, I did kind of make a difference in the world. I don't see it as of right now, but hopefully in the future, if I, you know, I continue this career, keep winning, I can, you know, broaden the horizon for young Native kids and be able to chase their dreams. That's all we're doing here, man. We're trying to make a living, but in the end, we're chasing a dream. It's a crazy wild one, but I hope it can, you know, inspire some other kid, you know, not just Native, but, you know, any kid growing up, chase your dream for sure.
Very well said, my man. You know, I set out with MMA World Rankings as a part of the board many years ago, and we created a page called the American Indian Fighters Network in hopes that we could get American Indians and other Natives and aspects of the culture to post and share and do things of that nature. You know, we got the page built up pretty far, but then it was almost like it was just a shutdown. And, you know, I look at the American Indian culture in the fight world. And, you know, there's not really relatively that many fighters. Like you said, you were the first from your tribe to fight in Bellator.
For my
tribe.
When you look at it
in that aspect, I mean, the American Indian culture, it's diverse, but it's dwindling away, and it saddens me because my mother was like yours. My mother had to unfortunately follow the migrant farm worker trail and, you know, pick tomatoes and pick walnuts and, you know, fruit and things of that nature so we could eat. And back then, I'm 51 years old, back then it was a kind of you ate what the butcher threw away. Now you try to go buy it at the butcher, you're going to pay an arm and a leg for it, you know. And, you know, life has changed over 51 years for me. But as a warrior, you've had a tremendous life. You've had a tremendous run thus far. You know, before we went live, we were talking about, you know, we're brothers with quite a few people, one of them being Tim Elliott. Would you say Tim Elliott's been an inspiration in your career thus far? I know there's many others, but, you know, just speaking in particular of Tim, would you say that he's helped and pushed you forward in the right direction?
Man, yeah, you know, it goes back to, I think, my very first amateur fight. Tim, I was in Hayes, Kansas. He was at UCO. We were junior college teammates. He went to University of UCO, Central Oklahoma, and then I went to Fort Hayes up in Kansas. So we split our ways there. You know, we kept contact, and then it was just randomly I seen him at one of our fights in Hayes that we had there. He was coming up. He was cornering a guy, and he was just starting. I don't think he was in the UFC at this time. He was just coming up. And he looked at me and he goes, how long are you going to stay amateur? I looked at him and I was like, I don't know. And he goes, man, you've had over 100 amateur fights already. Turn pro. You know, and that's just Timmy. That's just his go-get mentality. And I sat there and I thought about it. I was like, man, you know, that's kind of true. I have wrestled, you know, my whole entire life. So that's that. And then just from then, him watching him grow and evolve, you know, we came from the same cloth. You know, we're both Labette boys. You know, we're both hardworking, you know, middle-class guys. And to see him make it into the UFC and do as well as he has, you know. I mean, he had a, you know, a little tough run there for a little bit, but I mean, it's fighting. It's a tough game. I mean, anybody can't say they can just go unflawed. But yeah, as far as Tim, from that point, and then he took me under his wing, let me come and stay at his house for a couple weeks. I had a fight. I'm a full-time carpenter also, so I took some time off, drove down to Glory and trained with Tim, and just his whole mentality. His whole mentality, him and James down there at Glory, they're really, really down-to-earth guys, man. And I could just relate, you know. I just immediately, nothing, it was no weird, no awkwardness. I got in there, we started working, we worked together. You know, they were asking for my help, I was asking for their help. It was just a really, really neat, humbling experience to be with those guys, learn from them for sure.
Most definitely. But, you know, don't say there wasn't no awkward in it, because That's Tim Elliott, bro.
Yeah,
you know,
I got him at a young age, so I knew Timmy before. Everybody else knew he was awkward. I knew how wild and crazy he was before this.
Oh,
I knew,
man.
The young
you tell me about it. You know, trying to shoot him is just it's hard. You know, I've shot at many of the most top gyms in the country, and here I walk in and I'm trying to shoot Tim Elliott, trying to keep him just in in the viewfinder on my camera. It's just. It's crazy. The guy's everywhere, you know, and to walk into Demetrius Johnson straight out of the house and do what he did was phenomenal. But, you know, I look at warriors like Krause and Tim Elliott, and I look what they do for people like you that are coming up in the sport. And it's truly profound what you say, the way you explain them, because Glory has that mentality. I've been at gyms across the country, and I choose to call Glory home. There's just something different about what Krause and Zach Cummings teach. There's just something different about the people in the room there. Everybody checks their egos at the door, and everybody helps everybody, and I think that's important in this sport. You know, you're set to face Chris Harris. You know, he's a dominant warrior. He's a friend of mine. You know, this is what is the hard part sometimes in journalism and in being in the inner workings, because I also shoot the sport, is you happen to interview people that are fighting each other. And one thing I do is I ride the white line. I don't pick one over the other, because you're both warriors and anything can happen once the cage door closes. But this is an opportunity for you, Chance, to continue your winning streak. But not only that, to get your name out there in a major promotion as you both are rightfully true warriors. What are your thoughts going into this fight with Chris Harris?
Oh, man, I think Doc is the promoter of this. C3 got a show for him on this one, man. Me and Chris, I think we're both tough, tough guys. He's a middleweight. He's moving down to welterweight. We'll see how that goes, the weight cut and everything. It's a different aspect of the game. We'll see how he does in that aspect. But as far as, you know, our talent, I think we're both two of the top-tier guys on Tapology. I'm one or two, you know. I don't like to look into the rankings too much, but, I mean, you got to look sometimes. But we're both highly ranked. He's highly ranked at middleweight. I'm highly ranked at welterweight. So, I mean, there's nothing you can explain but to know that there's going to be fireworks that night because there's two top contenders coming in there. And like you said, it's make or break for us. This is our breaking point. We're to the point in our career. I think he's 10-2. I'm 11-2. We're right there on the grasp of getting in the UFC and signing with Bellator for a long, lengthy contract. We're right there, and I believe this fight for either one of us, you know, if it goes his way or goes my way, I feel like it's a good fight, and that's why I took it, is because, you know, we're not going to get anywhere in this world fighting tomato cans. So I always want to fight the toughest guys, and it's something, I mean, I'll be honored to share the cage with him. It's funny because, hell, we were friends before we even decided to fight. He came up to me the last Bellator fight that we both carded in Mulvane, Kansas. We both fought on that card. He came up, you know, we were just shooting the shit, and who knew that we were going to be fighting, you know, 5 months down the road. So I there's no grudges, and I'm not that guy either, or anything. And I don't want to sit here and bash anybody. I mean, he's a tough, tough guy. He's a brawler, man. So I'm training hard, training full camp, just like normal, not here at Alliance MMA, one of the best gyms that, you know, I fell in love with out here, besides Glory, of course, besides Glory, but I'm out here at Alliance training at my number one, and I put in a full camp, put in the work. I mean, all we can do is just put it on the line Saturday night and let it hang. Fight down
definitely
and swing hard,
you.
Man.
Yeah, you know, and Chris Harris said the same thing about you, you know, and that's one of the things why I reached out to you is, you're not one that talks crap, and that's one thing I really don't allow on my show to begin with anyway, and that's why my show does so well on iHeartRadio and Univision and other aspects, is because it's reality, it's real, but at the same time, you know, I don't like that disrespect in the sport. I don't like that Conor McGregor aspect of the sport. It truly is turning me off. I've been in the sport for 21 years. I don't like it, but Chris, he spoke very highly of you, you know, and when you hear that from an opponent, and Chris Harris doesn't talk crap either, and neither do you, but when you hear that from an opponent, you know, it says that there's respect there. And the more I dug into your career, I saw why. You know, sometimes on my show, we do like to go a little bit backwards because I like to get your thought process on learning and where you come from. You know, so you did bring up Bellator 151. Unfortunately, that's not the fight I want to talk about. You know, I actually want to go back to RFA 30. You know, you came up, you had a unanimous decision with Nakashima. Yeah, you know, what was it that you took away from that fight? Because I don't look at the fight as a loss. I look at fights as learning lessons.
I learned.
You know,
yeah.
It went to a unanimous decision. What was it that you took away from that fight that had you start looking at your career differently? Because really, from that point on, I mean, you did have one other split, but from that point on, you truly have been on a reign of terror.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And, honestly, I thought about that, and it was my first loss, so it was kind of hard for me. You know, at first I was kind of emotional, took it, and then I had to really sit down and start thinking and renegotiating and rethinking the whole thing, like, all right. And really what I took away from that fight, and I know this is kind of cliche or whatever, but I didn't fight those first two rounds. I fought the third round, but I learned that it's more, once we get to this level, when we got the Chris Harris's, the James Nakashima's, you know, the top guys in whatever promotion it is, it's becoming more of, it's a competition. Earlier in my career, I used to be able to use my wrestling and just mow over people, not a big deal. But now it's to the point that everybody's good. Everybody's good in every aspect of the sport now. I mean, yeah, I might be a wrestler at heart, but, you know, I got jiu-jitsu and I'm working on my hands daily. So we're all well-rounded fighters, and I learned from that fight is it's a point system sometimes. Sometimes you're not just the baddest mother effer in there. sometimes you got to – it's strategy, you know. He was the better man that night. I learned, you know, sometimes you got to – don't just think you got to knock him out every time. You got to win around. I might need this takedown for this last 10 seconds just so I can score points. And I think I've used that in a couple of my fights now, you know, just trying to be smarter with my rounds, even in sitting there thinking, all right, or, you know, even if it's close 1-1, I got to stand in the center of this octagon or cage and throw my hands and stand there just so the judge's eyes know that I'm the more dominant fighter. And that's what I really took from that fight is you got to fight all three rounds. You can't just expect to show up in the third round and win a fight. Even though I knocked him down in the third round, it's still the fight's over. You know, if we were in the bar, it wouldn't be like that. We would keep on going until it was over. But in the MMA world, we only got three rounds to show what we got. And that's where I really took it from there. Came back here out here to Alliance, and I sat down with Dom. I didn't sit down. We were working out, and Dominic Cruz is like, yeah. He goes, man, it's a point system now. You got to learn how to win fights, not just go out there and be the toughest son of a SOB there is. You got to sit down, and you actually got to think strategy, where we're going with this, how we're going to outpoint this man. Because sometimes, you know, you're two top-tier athletes. You're not going to be able to just knock everybody out or out-wrestle everybody. You got to be able to outscore some people here and there. And that's what I really took away from that Nakashima fight. Oh, well, man, I want that one back.
I want that one back. You know, but
yeah, I want
you
that
made
one
a very
back,
good
sure.
point. Yeah, I know you do, bro, and so you might get that fight back. But, you know, you made a very good point because I had Daniel Cormier on my show a multitude of times. And, you know, a lot of people clowned on me or, you know, dispute, you know, words of dismay when I had him on the show, you know, because they clarify him as a point fighter, you know, and you speak of Dominic Cruz, happens to be one of my favorite fighters of all times. You know, it's a sport. You know, people want to mm-hmm. say it's entertainment. They could say that whatever they want. Conor McGregor added that aspect to it. I won't go that route. But the point I'm getting at is, you got two warriors that are locked into a cage. You know, you're there to do what you're, you know, to collect a paycheck and do what you're there to do, whether it be you're a point fighter or like Syed Awad, who says, I'm here to please the crowd, let's just bang it out. You know, there's two types of warriors, but if you're there to keep your record straight, you're there to do your job, I don't see nothing wrong in point fighters. Now, when you look at the sport yourself as a warrior, you know, what would you rather face? Would you rather face someone who is ready to bang it out or somebody who is a point fighter? Who do you think is going to give you the better night?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I've never really thought about that. I feel like I get lulled into it sometimes. So if someone's going to stand there just toe-to-toe with me, I'm that stubborn guy that gets hit, and I'm just like, all right, look at you directly in the eye and come forward. I'm not one of those guys that gets hit and turns around. So you hit me, I'm going to come back at you just as hard, if not harder. So sometimes I get lulled into those banging fights. And then, you know, and that's where I got to be self-conscious. You know, let's not sit here and just go toe-to-toe. If I can, you know, take somebody down and sub them in 2 minutes, let's get out of there and get our paycheck and move on to the next one. Because this point in our career, you know, when I get into the UFC or one of the larger promotions, you know, and I'm fighting on the main card and I want to stand there and bang and then make it exciting for the fans, I don't see like that's I'm there. But in order to get there, I'm not there yet. So I got to be more safe with my career. And it's like I can sit there and go toe-to-toe with someone, but is that going to benefit me in the long run? I'm taking more damage. I'm not getting the W. I mean, I might get the W, but you're taking a lot of damage. So let's think about the long-term aspect. I don't want to sit here and just fight, you know, 20 fights. I want to keep fighting as long as I possibly can. My body allows me to. So, of course, you know, I was that guy because I'm a wrestler. So the lay and pray guys, everybody hates those guys. And I told myself earlier in my career, I'm not going to do that. I just got my first sub, my last fight. So if that tells you anything, like I'm always been that guy, like let's stand toe-to-toe, let's fight, and let's see where it goes from there. And then, you know, I took a couple losses, restarted thinking it, and of course I would love to put an exciting fight on. But in the end of the end, at the end of the night, it matters whether you got that W or that L. Because right now, mine and Chris's point in our career, these W's are huge. They're what's going to make or break us, honestly, in my eyes, because we're right there teetering on the line whether we're going to get signed with UFC, Bellator, one of the top promotions. And, I mean, you got to think that way because we're not just doing this for fun. We're not trying to just not, like, I just want to fight at these local shows. It's no point in my mind that would work like that. You got to have a higher goal. And the UFC is where it's at, where the money's at.
It truly is. And, you know, you kind of remind me of a young Max Griffin. Before he got signed to the UFC, I had him on my show. And he said, "I'm done." And I said, "What do you mean, bro?" He says, "I'm drawing a line in the sand." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm drawing a line. Either I'm not fighting anymore, or I'm going to the show because I refuse to fight for any more local promotions or, you know, other promotions in the state. You know, it's either the big show or nothing for me now." And fortunately enough, he got signed to the UFC, and the rest is history. You know, what would it mean for you, Chance, to get to that moment?
Man, I honestly haven't even thought about that yet. Like, it's one fight at a time for me right now, but now that I'm thinking about it at this moment, it's my dream. It's where I want to go. It's where I want to have what I wanted to be since I started this. You know, everybody wanted to go. I thought, you know, let's go to Bellator. I was really humbled, really honored to get into Bellator, you know, and then I see it and it's like, well, I think I am that good. I think I can compete with some of the guys. And being out here at this gym, you know, training with Phil Davis every day, you know, getting Jeremy Stevens' input on everything, his work ethic, it's just humbling to know that I can train with these top-notch guys, these top competitors in UFC and Bellator and stuff like that. And so that's what really opened my eyes, and it's what we want, you know. I hate when fighters say it's about the love of the sport, and I don't care who you are, no one loves getting punched in the fucking face. Let's just be honest. Some of us handle it better. Some of us handle it really well, and that's the aspect. But, you know, no one's going to go to a bar fight every night and not want anything out of it, you know. So the money is definitely a driving factor. I have a daughter. I have a 5-year-old daughter, you know, and she's the world to me. And I've made a lot of sacrifices for not just for her, but for me. And it's hard on me. She's getting older now, and she's realizing what I'm doing. I packed up my suitcase to come to camp two camps ago, and she's just now, you know, she's starting, "Daddy, you're going to go train." And that was, you know, that's an eye-opener. It's like, shit, she knows what's going on now. She's old enough, because I've fought her whole entire life. You know, now she's older enough. She knows, you know, "Daddy, you're going to go win another trophy." So it does mean a lot, but in the end, I got to support her. I got to make a living. And that's, you know, the only shows that pay decent around here, you know, the UFC, if you get on the main card in Bellator and stuff of that nature. So it'd be stupid not to say that I want the money and I'm ready for it, but you got to earn, and I'm one of those old school wrestling guys that you got to earn your keep or pay your dues. So I'm sitting here, I'll just keep grinding, keep staying humble, keep working hard, and then hopefully, like you said, if everything works out like it's supposed to, I'll get signed sooner or later. Hopefully sooner than later, though.
Right. You know, I've had a ton of wrestlers on my show. You know, Joe Daddy Stevenson, Juan Archuleta. You know, I like to use Juan Archuleta because, well, him and Joey Black Eyes Davis. Here, Joey Black Eyes Davis is, I think, 133-0 out of Notre Dame. Even though he was a Division II wrestler, he's tearing it up in Bellator. Then you look at Juan Archuleta, 7-time world champion, 4-time division champ. You know, the road is wide open. I see an aspect in these wrestlers that are coming into the sport, and they create utter domination because they create aspects of the ground that jiu-jitsu can't teach you. You know, it's, you can only get it from wrestling. And with you guys getting jiu-jitsu in, you know, on top of striking, it creates, in my mind, a more profound warrior. And when you look at it that way, you know, it's the full package. You know, one question, because you're a very young and humble young man, you know, you're creating this legacy now. You're building this legacy now, not just for your family, but for your tribe, your ancestry, for everybody in your life, and for future generations of your life. What does that moment mean to you that you are creating such a legacy for yourself at such a young age?
You know, back to that point earlier, like right now, as of right now, I honestly can't see it as well as you depict it. The way you just told it is like a fairy tale. In my mind, it doesn't work out like that. But I feel like once I get later in my career, and once I'm in the UFC, you know, I made it to Bellator and everything like that. I love going back home and people coming up and shaking my hand. You know, are you Chance Rinkenner? Are you Chance Rinkenner? That is the most humble experience. And, you know, I grew up in a town of 3,000. So everybody knows everybody. And it's for random people to come up and recognize me and appreciate what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do. It's so humbling. It's so crazy. You get giddy, like a little butterflies in your stomach, just to come up and shake some random person's hand or sign an autograph for a little kid, go speak to some kids, you know, do a little wrestling camp. And, you know, you get introduced as a, you know, junior college All-American, Bellator fighter, blah, blah, blah. And it is amazing. And as of right now, you know, I'm just taking it day by day, just keep moving forward. But I feel like once I do retire and everything is done, I'll look back and I'm like, damn, I did have a pretty good run at it. I did do some things in life. And, you know, that's what I've always wanted to do, just make my family proud, my daughter proud. And that's all we can do, man, just keep our head down, stay humble, and keep working. Hopefully things work out the way they're supposed to.
Most definitely. You know, when you look over your shoulder, sometimes we get a reflection. You know, we walk down a path, we look in a puddle of water, and we get a reflection. What does Chance Rinkenner see when he gets that reflection of himself?
Man, just a small town kid, came from humble beginnings. I've worked hard. I got, you know, a scholarship for my wrestling, paid for all of my schooling through wrestling. You know, just worked hard. I've been competing since I was 5 years old. I'm 31 now. It's a long time to be competing.
Yeah, right.
And I still have that drive, and I still have that love. And then when I look at myself, and it's like, you know, I do see that father. I do see the fighter. And it's all the same person in my eyes. And that's in the end of the day, is like I know I can lay my head down at night and know I've been the best father I possibly can. I've worked the hardest I possibly can. I've treated people with the most utmost respect. So I know at myself, deep down, when I lay my head down at night, I don't have to post it because I'm horrible at social media. I don't have to post, you know, all my gym workout pictures, you know, because I know I've worked my ass off today. I don't need anybody else telling me that I worked my ass off. I know it. And that's what I think self-gratification is more important in yourself, as in self-esteem and your ongoing in your career, whatever it is. If you want to be the best garbage man, best, you know, whatever you want, as long as you feel like you're the best, then you keep moving forward. And that's where, you know, I want to be at night when I lay my head down. I want to be the best that I know. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I want to be the best. And if I'm happy with that, then hopefully everybody else is.
I love it, man. You know, it's you're a wise young man, you know, and the words you speak are profound. So it just shows a great receptive attitude, I guess, from the people that you surrounded yourself with in life. You know, I wanted to ask you this, and it's kind of an off-the-wall question, but, you know, everybody in this sport gets to walk into the octagon, but what was it like when you first initially stepped foot in a Bellator octagon? What did that moment mean to you, Chance?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, this is a kind of funny story. I was more nervous for the weigh-ins. I don't know why, but my stomach, like when we were backstage and they were staging us and we were about to come on for the live weigh-ins, I was more nervous then than I have ever been for any fight, any competition, any wrestling match. And I have no idea why. I think it was just like that first, okay, we're actually here. This is it, you know. That aspect was more nervous than anything. And, I mean, like Timmy said, you know, I've had over 100 amateur fights with my wrestling career. I've been, you know, state. I've been to, you know, Tulsa National, big wrestling tournaments. I mean, I've gotten that experience, so I don't feel like that was much of a nervous. I'm pretty relaxed before a fight. Most people get nervous, and, you know, some people throw up. I don't know. Some people do weird things. I like to stay most calm, relaxed. We're at a casino. I'll go gamble the night before. I hang out. I'd rather be as calm as possible because it's a fight. I don't know. It's just, it's at the end of the night, it's a fight, whether it is or whether it isn't. And one thing that I reassure myself with before I go out there, win, lose, or draw, I'm going to come out of that cage and my family's still going to love me. My daughter's still going to be there. And so it's like, how much can this guy really do to me? There's a guy that's going to pull him off me if he starts beating me up too bad. I mean, it's not life or death. Your family's still going to love you. And then I train with some of the best people in the world out here at Alliance. So it's the confidence from that, the aspect of, you know, this, it's just not, it's a sport. You know, everybody thinks it's, oh, it's fighting, it's so gruesome. Nah, I've been in plenty of street fights, and they've gotten a lot worse than anything in my MMA career has ever happened. So the whole walk to the cage wasn't as bad as the first the first weigh-in live stream. That got me more than anything. And I still can't explain why.
That's cool. It's hilarious, man. But, you know, Chance, I know you don't talk crap, you know, and Chris Harris didn't say any crap about you, you know, because Chris is a tremendous warrior in the sport himself. But, you know, sometimes you got to make a statement, you know, but, you know, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But what can fans expect come that night in C3? I mean, it is a title fight. You are facing one of the best in the Midwest and Chris Harris. What can the fans expect that night?
Oh, man, I picture the fight. I don't know if other fighters do this. There's 1,000 ways that I've won this fight already in my mind. And I can't fathom a way that I lose. And it's weird, and maybe that's a confidence thing, but I just can't grasp the concept of losing this fight. Man, maybe when I'm in the UFC fighting one of the top-tier guys, yeah, maybe. Maybe I can sit there, but I don't know if it's just mentally being strong or it's just the way I am as a person. But for the fans, I expect them to see, you know, two great fighters go in there Saturday night and put it all on the line. We both train hard. You know, we both can fight 15 minutes straight, and we'll put it all on the line.
Because
we both know how important this is to us.
Yeah, it truly is. It's like you said earlier, it's a major stepping stone for either one of you. This fight is going to either, you know, make or break one of your careers. I mean, not necessarily break, but, you know, one fighter will move on, and the other will have to rebuild his name and where he's at.
Exactly.
You know, and in some aspects that's unfair because you're on a 3-fight win streak. You're sitting at 11-2. You're a tremendous attribute to the sport and yourself. I see it as being a war, two tremendous warriors going out there and doing battle, and I think that's a tremendous way of looking at it. You know, Chance, it was an honor to have you on the show tonight, man. I love having people like you on my show that are just down to earth and real. At this point in time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. If you have any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else that you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, I'd just like to give a shout-out to my sponsors. I got two major sponsors back in Nebraska. I work for them. They're construction companies, and, you know, they do it not just – they're not going to get any business out of this. They do this because they support me and they love me. And that's probably the most humbling thing I get out of this sport is people do appreciate what I do. So I just want to give a huge shout-out to Coin Construction, Thrive Construction. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, man. Everybody else out listening, I know I'm not social, not the greatest social media, but check me out on Instagram at Rennie170. And I think that's it. And then, you can follow my fan page on Facebook at Chance Rencounter or Chance Black Eagle Rencounter. But
you know,
I'll
my
try
friend,
to keep you guys updated as much as possible.
It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous war that night. You know, whoever's going to be there, you know, you're going to see a hell of a fight. I'm surprised, you know, quite honestly, I'm surprised C3 got a fight of this magnitude. Not to knock the promotion, but
that's what I said, Donna. Like they're getting a top fight for cheap, man. They got a show for them for sure. They're getting spoiled, and of course, but you got to take anything away from Doc. Doc Trips is one of the greatest promoters I've ever met and talked to. He takes care of us. He's not one of those promoters that's gonna, you know, try to do you wrong. He takes care of his fighters, takes care of the coaches. He's a tremendous promoter, and I've fought for him several times, and I always told him I always would. So this is a no-brainer for me. And it's close to home. You can't beat that one.
Most definitely. Well, my brother, it's truly been an honor. I look forward to you know, a tremendous fight night, and I look forward to having you back on after your fight with Chris Harris. If you'd humble my show, I look forward to having you back on again, my brother.
Man, Don, I appreciate it. Thank you for this, man. Thank you for the time. I you know, of course I would, man. No, anything that can help out the MMA community, I'm all for. I appreciate it. Thank you for all that you do for this sport.
Oh, no problem. Hey, man, you guys named the show, and I'm here because of you. And, you know, it's always a giving back issue with me in my life as it is with you. Like I said, my friend, I wish you the best of luck. I look forward to having you back on. You know, you're a tremendous young man. Keep up what you're doing. The sport needs more people like you, my friend.
I appreciate it, Don. You have a great night, sir. Thank you, man.
God bless.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chance Rencounter. Sorry at the beginning of the show I wasn't going to butcher his name, but, man, what a humble, humble young man. We're going to do a quick commercial with our sponsor, one of our sponsors, and when we come back, we will have Sandra Spitfire Thomas.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're back. You can look this Sunday for Slone Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony Family Tree to be on my Music Edition backstage with Don McGuire. At this point in time, we're going to jump to Sandra Thomas.
Hello?
Hey, Sandra. This is Don McGuire with The Fighter's Voice. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I apologize. I'm running about 6-7 minutes behind. Kind of got caught up in that interview, but, you know, the show must go on, and I still left enough time in your slot. You know, the reason why I wanted you on the show is I looked at an attribute of your career, and I found something very profound. You know, it's a young lady who truly believes in this sport, truly believes in this aspect of life. What initially led you down this path as a young lady in life?
Oh, man, that's always the toughest question for me. You know, I've never imagined being anything else but a fighter. So, you know, this is what I've always wanted to do since as far back as I can remember. So I never imagined being anything else. So this is what I'm doing, and I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to do it.
It's a humbling sport, and it's, you know, I love it because I've been in it for 21 years. What is it that, when you look at all the aspects of mixed martial arts, what would you perceive as being the most that has truly gained your passion and your striving for the, you know, to be the best in that aspect?
You know, I've been doing it for, you know, probably close to 6 or 7 years. And the competition is just becoming amazing. The girls are getting so good. And I think that keeps me on my toes. And it's awesome to have girls out there that are just really, really dedicated. And I know how much work it takes to get there. And I think that is what is motivating me the most right now, is that, you know, there's a lot of girls that are doing really awesome things right now.
What would it mean for you to get a call from like a major promotion such as Invicta and Shannon Knapp? What would it mean for your career to receive that type of call?
Well, that is my ultimate goal. So, I mean, that's my dream, and that's what I want. And I'm going to work as hard and train as much as I ever have, more than I ever have, until I get a call like that.
Right now is an opportune time. As you know, the UFC just plucked, you know, pretty much three-quarters of the stable from Invicta, you know. So Shannon Knapp, if you're listening, Julie Kinsey, really look into Sandra Thomas. I think she would be a great addition to the promotion. You know, they're bringing in a lot of talent. I think you'd fit right in. You know, my show is kind of different in some aspects. You know, everybody sees you on social media. Everybody sees on TV or different aspects, but they don't really get to know the fighter. All they see is what they read or see on TV. What
right,
is it about,
right.
You know, take me back to the early life of Sandra Thomas. What was life like for you before you even had the thought of mixed martial arts?
Let's see. I had a tough childhood. I was raised by my father. He was, you know, a single dad. So I think, you know, every fighter has a story, and I think that's my story. You know, I had to fight from a very young age, and it's all I've ever known. And I myself am a single mother, so I mean, that motivates me to do as much as I possibly can, and I want to have the best for my children, and most of all, I want them to see that you work hard and you dedicate and so much time and put in, you know, work for what you want and just work for it. It will happen. Like, I just want them to see that. Never give up on what you love.
I like that. But, you know, Chance Rencounter, my first guest, who's getting ready to fight Chris Harris, you know, he exemplified that fact. And you know, we kind of talked about, because he said, I don't see myself as being part of a legacy yet. I just see the creation of it. You know, one aspect that, you know, I take away from you thus far as us talking is you're a person that is teaching your child when you set goals, when you set out to do something in life, you see it through, whether it comes out your way or not. You know, when you look at it that way and you look at it as the beginning of or the creation of a legacy that you're building, what are your thoughts in that aspect?
I mean, like, yeah, it's cliche to say, you know, hard work pays off, but there's going to be obstacles in life, and how you come out of those, and that's what makes you stronger. It's, you have to work past those obstacles, and when life throws stuff at you, you can't give up on what you really want. You got to work harder to get it. And that's really just pretty much what I want to get out there to them.
Yeah. How hard is it for, because fighting could be a full-time job, you know, and some people I know that are in law enforcement, they're full-time fighters and they have a full-time position that way. You know, being a parent is a full-time job and being a fighter is a full-time job. You know, how hard is it for you to reflect in life and get the training you need and do what you do? Or is there just so much intent and passion that everything just congeals for you and works for you in that aspect?
Well, I'm lucky enough to be able to work doing what I love to do. I teach some jiu-jitsu and some boxing, and I do a lot of personal training. So I get to always be in the gym, and, you know, that is, I feel blessed to be able to always be there. So every day I'm training somehow, every day, whether it's some conditioning, 4 hours of training every day I'm there, and I'm putting in definitely more work than I hope my opponent is putting in.
Most definitely. You know, I've had all sorts of genres on my show. I do Muay Thai, you know, BJJ, boxing, all aspects of it. When you look at the sport as a whole, which part of it would you say has been more profound on you, not just in your life, but giving back to others? Would you say it's been the BJJ aspect, it's all combined?
I think it's all combined. I work with some people that just like to do some boxing, and then I also work with people who just want to learn jiu-jitsu, and they don't want to compete. They just want to know some self-defense, or they just want to get in good shape. So, I mean, both of them, as well as wrestling and some Muay Thai, a lot of everything.
Yeah. You know, I looked, to be quite honest with you, and I didn't see that if you had anything up on the plate. You know, I wanted to bring you on the show because, you know, you've had so many fights, you know, and you've been around for a moment. You know, I wanted to get your name back out there and be able to share you with my listeners, because my show is about, you know, the beginning, middle, and end of the sport. You know, I bring on legends from anywhere from amateurs to legends. So when you look at it, where would you like to be in the next couple of years? What are you thriving to get, you know, I can't even talk tonight. What spot are you thriving to get at in your life?
By the end of this year, my goal is to have a pro title fight. And I'm hoping that by the next year after that, that I get that good call.
Well, I hope you do, too, because, you know, I'll be honest with you, quite a bit of your fans have shared the show tonight. You know, so you got a lot of fans out there. What does it mean for you to be just going along in the sport and have the support system that you do?
Oh, it's amazing. And without that support system, you know, I would never have gotten to do as much as I have or gotten this far in this sport. So I'm so thankful for that.
You know, this sport has a way of being humbling and changing us. When you look at from the moment you got into the sport to now, what would you say has been the greatest change in you or the greatest asset in you that you've taken away from the sport?
Oh, I would say my confidence and my self-discipline. I mean, it changed my life, so definitely in those two aspects.
Yeah. When you look at, you know, life sometimes, like you spoke about, you had a hard life and, you know, growing up wasn't easy. What would you say that you took away from that you instill and inspire in others today?
You got to push through it. I mean, you just got to stay strong and remember that you can do anything that you want to do if you just stay focused and work really, really hard.
Now, there's a lot of promotions that listen to my show. You know, I tell every guest, you never know who's listening. So if you had to make a statement to a major promotion or another promotion that is out there looking for fighters, if you had to make a statement about yourself, you know, to kind of sway them to pull you on their card or pull you into their promotion, what would that statement be, my friend?
No, I am fun to watch. So I would definitely like to get that out there. I think I have a really good aggressive style of fighting, and I put on a really good show. So I like to say hello to Invicta.
Right? Yeah, I shot the last Invicta, and, you know, I would kind of, you know, nothing towards how they match the cards, but I would kind of like to see more American fighters than the Brazilian fighters. It seems like they're starting to predominantly take over that side of the Invicta card. And, you know, I understand that, you know, they need to keep the promotion going, but there's tons of tremendous fighters here in the USA, and I would like to see more of a USA aspect on some of the up-and-coming cards. I think it would benefit them as, you know, you got Megan Anderson, who was originally from Australia but was a Kansas City favorite. Then you had Tanya Evinger, which are now both gone. You know, they're no longer in Invicta. Yeah. Then they came in, they swiped out the whole stable. You know, I think it's right now is the prime time to bring in fighters like you. When you look at the sport, you look at all aspects of everything that you've learned to this day, what would you like to see progress in yourself within the next year or two?
I just really want to get out there. I want to be noticed. I work really, really hard, and I think that I've got what it takes. So I'm really hoping that I can find, I'm my last couple of fights, I've gone up in weight. So I'm really looking at finding a 105-pound fight. So it's really why I have Invicta, you know, the top of my list right now. I know they do an atom weight division at 105.
Yeah, that'd be cool there. Or, you know, King of the Cage would be also awesome too.
King of the Cage.
Yeah, I miss that aspect of my life. My boy Steve Inman, the voice of King of the Cage, and Bear Morales, Mike Beltran, and all them. We've all been friends and family for a long time, and they're tremendous attributes. You know, I think those are two tremendous promotions. You know.
I fought for King of the Cage in 2016, January, and it was one of the best shows, I think. I had so much fun doing it. The promotions were awesome. So, yeah, I would really love to fight for King of the Cage again.
Yeah, that was a hell of a war. You know, you fought, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Elaine Santiago, correct?
Yep, correct.
You know... See, you know, I hate to do this, but sometimes it's a necessity because, you know, this is how fighters grow. You know, you went from the King of the Cage. You've had a tremendous career, and you've been around for a long time, so don't take this the wrong way. You'll get my thought in a second. You know, when you went to enter your last fight with Paige Blair, you went to unanimous, you know, I can't even talk, God. You had a unanimous decision. You know, I don't look at fights like I told Chance. I don't look at fights as losses. I look at them as learning lessons. What did you learn in your last fight with Paige Blair?
Oh, I learned so much about myself as a fighter. And, you know, every time I fight, I learned what I need to work on and what I need to improve on. And I thought that was an amazing fight. It felt like one of my best fights, so I was really happy with my performance. I think I won't ever let it go to a decision again, you know, as long as I can help that. But, yeah, I learned a lot in that fight, and I learned that I'm not going to play it safe when it's coming down to a decision.
Yeah. You know, and I want to take you way back in your career, you know, your first fight was actually canceled, but then you ended up stepping up in XFO 49 against Shauna Stevenson. What was it about that night that enthralled you even more about the sport?
See, I had a really bad back injury that put me out in 2014. So at that time, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to fight ever again. I was seeing a neurologist at going through all of this, you know, different pains and wondering if I was going to have to surgery or not. And so that was, you know, I had waited for that moment and I worked through all of that pain and kept training what I could train. So that was a really special fight for me.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we look at life and, you know, I'm going to kind of ask you the same question I asked Chance earlier because I think it's, I'll go a different route. If you had to write down on a piece of paper something that you would like people to remember about you in years to come that would be put in a time capsule, buried in, let's say, open 10 years from now, what would you write down in that statement for future generations to look at?
I would probably write down that I never gave up.
I like that. It's pretty deep. Mm-hmm. You know, that, I mean, it's the mentality and the heart of a warrior, you know. That's one thing that, like you stated earlier in this interview, you know, you want to show people that, you know, when you set your mind to do something, you see it through. When you set your mind to something, you accomplish your goals, whether or not the outcome is what you want. It's the thought process of seeing it through. You know, when you look at life, who would you say was your major mentor in that aspect, in that guidance and knowledge?
I would have to say that it's been my father and my coach, my trainer. I've which I've been with for 8 years. So definitely that those two people have definitely played a huge role in my life.
Yeah. You know, it's hard because, like, I come from a really screwed up background. This is what I love about sometimes when you get a fighter that doesn't have the greatest story in life. You know, I grew up in the projects. I had a single mother. We were very poor, you know, very piss poor, you know. And, you know, people tell you that you can never become anything, that you can't, you know, come up from that. And it's bull crap.
Yeah.
You know, I have fighters that come on like you and many others that come from not so great childhood. And not only do they climb up, but they live their dreams. What has it meant for you to be able to come from obscurity and to live your dreams and still continue to thrive and be able to do so?
It's still blowing my mind that I'm actually getting to do this. So it really hasn't all quite sunken in. I'm just working so hard, and that's all I can think of is this right now, and that's just focus.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm very hungry.
You know, that's what's cool about this sport. You know, yeah, as you figured out by now, my show is not your atypical Wikipedia or Tapology show. And the fighters seem to like that because you get to express who you are. You get to share thoughts about who you are in life. And it's fun to be able to do that because, you know, like Daniel Cormier, I had him on the show, and I was telling Chance this, you know, a lot of people ridiculed me for having him on the show. But when he came on the show, I said, Daniel, because I've known him for a long time, I said, you take away the UFC, you take away all the fans, you take away everything. What has you continuously fighting for that 205-pound strap? And he said, the loss of my daughter. And you can hear him get all choked up. And for once in 12 years of journalism, it threw me for a loop because here's a man that I knew from the beginning of the wrestling at AKA, didn't know this about him. And, you know, there was a couple things that followed after that I truly didn't know, that his father died when he was a very young man. He was actually murdered. And that DC didn't actually get into the sport until he was 30 years old. So, you know, I get these... Yeah, so you look at it in that aspect. Age isn't an issue in this sport. It's mentality. And you, my friend, you have the mentality of a warrior, and I'd like to see you succeed in this sport. You know, like I said, I looked at your career, and it was one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show. But when you look at the sport, and you do have that deep thought sometimes about where you're at, and there's complacency in life, what is it that keeps you thriving for this moment, thriving for that one fight night? What is it that keeps that passion alive?
Every time I, you know, I'm setting these goals for myself and I get to smash them, and then I set something higher and I'm just want to keep on going with that.
I mean, it's well said. I mean, you truly epitomize what it is to be a warrior. You know, you sound like a very nice person in life, you know, and what amazes me is I get these people on the show and they're cool, calm, and collected. What is it about you that flicks that switch the moment you step into the cage? Because you're a compassionate person in life, but when you get in the cage, you turn into a whole new person. So what is it that allows you to flick that switch?
You know, I everything I've been through in life, you know, it sucks to have to think about it and put yourself back into that place, but, you know, that's what flicks that switch for me, because everybody that doubted every bit of me, then I just want to prove them so wrong at that moment. So...
Oh, I got you. You know, and you know, the one thing that I love about this sport is that if you do have a lesson taught to you, you can always come back. when you do need that type of knowledge and you do need that type of, you know, sit down time with somebody, would you say that your coach now has made a major difference in your thought process going forward in your career?
Definitely. He is 100% amazing and definitely why I have become such a great fighter and just never given up and just keeps pushing me and encouraging me and definitely.
It's tremendous to have people like that. You know, one thing that kind of caught my attention, and I know you've probably been asked this a million times, but, you know, it caught my attention. Your nickname is crazy because your nickname is Spitfire, you know, and when you think about that, you think about certain aspects in life. How did you originally come up with that nickname or who named you Spitfire to begin with?
That's funny. Actually, my very first fight was actually in 2012. Wasn't a sanctioned fight. It was back before, you know, the rules were a little bit different then. And I, you know, took a last minute fight, not even knowing. I had done martial arts as a kid, but I had no idea what cage fighting was. So I got a call from somebody that had remembered me doing, you know, karate as a kid and asked if I wanted to do like a last minute cage fight. And I was like, sure, I'll do it. I had no idea what I was getting into. I showed up like the day it was like 2 weeks. I started training with just a man that had taught, who was a coach in Ottawa, Illinois, that was, you know, doing some coaching out of his basement in his house. So I trained, his name was Dan Vara. I trained with him for like 2 weeks before my fight and showed up to the fight. Didn't even have a pair of gloves. somebody loaned me some gloves and I got in there and actually got disqualified because I didn't know the rules. So that's where I got my nickname. He actually gave it to me. And then just kind of my second fight was another fight that wasn't a sanctioned fight. It was for a power fight in Oswego, Illinois. I won that with a rear naked choke. It was a pretty awesome fight. And after that, I think the nickname just kind of stuck, and I just felt like it worked for me, so I just kept it.
I love that aspect. It's a pretty cool nickname. You know, sometimes in life we you know, don't get the opportunity to thank those who have made us or people that have helped us along the way. You know, and like I said earlier, I was shocked with how many people shared the show. Your fan base is tremendous. You know, and you're obviously popular out there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand the microphone over to you because I'm going to give you an opportunity to thank the people that have shared the show, the people that have backed you and that do believe in you and want to see you succeed in this sport. I'm going to let you make a statement to the people who support you and that respect you. The floor is yours,
awesome,
my friend.
Thank you. I am so grateful and so appreciative of all of my fans. I love them. I love you guys, and please just keep supporting me, and I will keep putting on good shows. And just thank you for always being there and showing me and, you know, that you're there and that it really motivates me when, you know, I'm working really, really hard and I feel like nobody really knows how hard I'm working. And then I do get times like tonight, you know, when I get people that are amazing and, you know, share this, and like, really, I just am really grateful that people, there are some awesome people out there. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was amazed. It's been shared quite a few times, and you look at it, and both the fighters I had on my show, you know, Chance for Encounter, and you are truly what epitomized the sport. You know, you're both up and comers, and you both truly deserve your time on my show. You know, people ask me sometimes, how come I don't do, you know, just mainly world champions and legends of the sport? Well, because they're not the ones that are continuing the sport. I do bring them on. I don't think it's relevant on every show. I think every fighter has a voice. And, I'm so honored that you came on the show tonight and shared who you are. It's a tremendous attribute. You know, Shannon Knapp, Julie Kinsey, all involved at Invicta FC, you know, truly give, you know, honestly, give her a look, give her an opportunity. I think she truly deserves it. You know, I think you're a tremendous attribute to the sport, and what you're doing is tremendous. I think you need to keep up the job. At this point in time, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. If there's any friends, family, social media sites, or just any sponsors you'd like to add, the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. You are amazing, and I feel so honored to be talking to you. So thank you, first of all. Really, thank you so much. And thank you to all of my fans that have been supporting me for years now, who have, you know, showed up for fights, have, you know, taken time out of their lives and to be there for me and help me out and just keep me motivated. And that's really, I just would never have gotten this far without them, especially my best friend Kelly. I'm sure she's listening. And thank you so much to my team. I've been with Ottawa MMA for around 6-7 years now. I have an amazing group of guys. I don't have any girls to really work with, so if there's any girls looking to learn some jiu-jitsu, some boxing, come and see us. So they have been amazing. They've been my corner guys. They take time out of their practice, you know, time to work with me and teach me stuff. So this is so much thank you to Ottawa MMA and all of the guys there, and especially my coach. He's my life, and he's amazing. So I don't know what I would do without him. So thank you so much to everybody listening, and just thank you for having me.
Oh, it's just truly my honor. Now, where can my listeners and people hearing you for the first time, or people that don't know how to follow you, how can they follow you on social media, my friend?
I have a Facebook page. I think it's Sandra Spitfire Thomas. So you can find me on there. I also have a fighter page, which you can find on Facebook. And I have an Instagram. So I have, you know, those three things mostly. I guess Facebook would probably be the biggest way. And my gym has a Facebook page as well as my trainer.
Well, you know, it's been a true honor to have you on, my friend. You know, I look forward to having you back on. Hopefully we can get you, like I said, Shannon Knapp, I'm gonna blow your ear up, and I'm even gonna drop a little birdie in Eric's ear, you know, over there at Invicta. You know, they're kind of my family. I think I've been around since Invicta 4, so I've shot just about every show all the way up till now. But you know, I truly think you deserve it, and you know, I like it in life when people get opportunities, and you know, giving without expectation is what life should be. And that's what my show is about, and that's what life is about. On that note, I truly want to thank you once again for joining the show. I hope you have a tremendous evening. I look forward
thank
to you.
You
hit me up and telling me I got some great news, and we'll have you back on the show again.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good night, my friend.
You too. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Sandra Spitfire Thomas, a talented young and up-and-comer, really making a mark on the scene. Shannon Knapp, Julie Kinsey, you really need to look at this young lady. Truly a talented fighter looking for her pro debut. You know, tonight's show was about sharing the up-and-comers of the sport. I like to do that because I believe in them. I believe in their passion and what they believe in. You know, life is truly what you make of it, and these young people are truly making the best of their life. With that being said, I want to thank the United Way, Merced. I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. Without you, the show wouldn't exist. I want to thank Affliction, and last but not least, the 86ers.net, Alfred and Freddie, you're tremendous. Look forward to Sunday, the music edition, backstage with Don McGuire. Great show for you. We got part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, Sloan Bone, coming on. Got my main man, Trip with 2 P's, going to co-host this show with me. It's going to be a tremendous attribute in music. And then the following weekend, we've got another tremendous artist in Nate White, and hopefully Chingy will be on that episode. And we have a bunch of shows this week. Tuesday night, the 86ers.net will come on and explain what they do for the community, what they do for the sport, and who they are as an organization. On that note, I want to say goodnight and God bless with a little bit of Tupac.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Oh,